Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR and or watching the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and you can watch there. Mm-hmm. If you would like to send us an email, here's the address, comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard. And we thank you for listening to the show. And joining us now in studio is Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. And my belated and a little conflicted congratulations to Ray on the success of his Chiefs on Sunday. I repped you yesterday, Ray.
I appreciate this.
Yeah.
Somebody had to show up and brag on the Chiefs.
What an incredible game that was.
Conflicted because of your allegiance to the...
I'm a Raider fan, and Raiders and Chiefs fans, except for Ray and I, may be the only exception. Most Raiders and Chiefs fans don't get along very well.
Right, you try to cancel each other.
Well, as often as we can, twice a year we do. We try to cancel each other out of the playoff race for sure. So.
Well... And in that game on Sunday, when the other team, when Houston went up 24-0, I have faith, but my faith was just about gone. And then all of a sudden, as they say, something happened, right?
Told you, Ray. We were tweeting, and I told you when they went down 21-0, I said, but you'd like to start this over again. And then,
that's right.
And then I said, just hang in there. It could happen. Boy, did it.
Once they got rolling, they scored on seven straight touchdowns on seven straight possessions like that?
I could see that maybe happening in the regular season against, like the Browns or something like that, but in the playoffs, wow.
All right, Steve, what do you got, my friend?
We now know who President Trump is tapping to defend his case in the Senate. As we have already heard today, it looks like there's going to be a trial in the Senate with witnesses because they don't have enough Republicans to dismiss it outright. So the White House officials are saying that counsel Pat Cipollone will take the lead of the president's defense. The number two man will be Jay Sekulow, our friend from
ACLJ.
And also on the team are Cipollone deputies Michael Perpura, and Patrick Philbin. No relationship to the Philbin Regis. That used to be on Regis that I know of. So that's who's going to be defending the president when it gets to the trial. And we've heard different things. I heard Rand Paul saying, okay, you want to fight? It's on. We're calling Hunter Biden.
If this is not going to go anywhere, and it's not, the sooner it ends, the better.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Honestly.
If I were Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, I would have witnesses, all right. I would have one witness from the House, from the Democrats. They get one witness, and then the president gets his witness, which is his attorney. Each of them get a couple hours before the Senate chamber, ask questions, same old, and then you vote all in one day.
Hey, I got a constitutional question, Steve.
Good, because I am a constitutional lawyer in my part-time.
On
the side.
In your other life.
Right.
Abe isn't here, so maybe Walker and Ray can help you if you can.
Sure.
Can Mitch McConnell take the articles of impeachment and just, like Nancy Pelosi, just say, well, I'm going to get to this in 2021?
I don't think they make the rules. It's their trial.
Just say, listen, Nancy Pelosi held this for a month or so. We don't have time to get to this right now. I'm planning on doing it in 2021. We'll get.
Yeah.
Legally, he could, right?
I know nothing that would keep him from doing that.
He has no time frame.
I'm being facetious here, obviously.
But politically, that would be crazy, right?
Well, he's not going to do that.
I'm just saying that what I'm saying is that the Senate is not under the thumb of Nancy Pelosi.
No.
Right.
And no, she no. tried to make them be that way. That's the reason she was holding out on sending the impeachment over to the United States Senate. All right, so now we know who the president and the Democrats
His
are going
team.
To.
Well, we don't know who the Democrats are going to put up yet. They yeah. had a meeting today. They
have. Seculo's, he's a pretty top-notch lawyer right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
I'd be happy if he were defending
And
me.
He can sure get a lot of information in a short amount of time from interviewing that guy often. Man, he can talk fast mm-hmm. and clear.
Yeah. yeah.
We had a decision at the Ninth Circuit on Monday. A U.S. judge, a federal judge, Dana Sabraw, a George W. Bush appointee, ruled that the Trump administration is operating within its authority when separating families stopped at the Mexico border. And the ACLU had challenged that ruling, saying you can't separate families. But the judge saw through that, and he said, you know what? Sometimes we don't know if these are actually their parents. The parents, even if they are, could be fit or undangerous or have a criminal history or a disease. You just can't put a blanket statement that every kid belongs with every adult across the border. So it's within the administration's purview to separate them for the kid's safety, which was a Ninth Circuit ruling.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, when you bring when these folks who come up from Central America or Mexico or other places, because there's proof now that people are coming in to Central America or to Mexico from other parts of the world,
right?
So that they can come up through our southern border, right, to get here. But, you know, if you're going to do that, then you know that you're entering the country illegally. And when you do something illegally, you do not have a right to tell the other government how they're supposed to handle you or the people with you. Because what's happening is, as we found out, a lot of these children that are being brought across the border are recycled, and they're just used as props.
The best case scenario is that they're used as props.
They're just used. They're just, you know, because you let's say you have a man and a woman come here, and they got three children, or you got just a man, and right. he says I'm the dad of these three children. Well, how are they supposed to know? How is a border agent supposed to know whether he's being truthful or if these are just kids he's using as an excuse to be able to get into the country? And so anyway, as far as separating them from each other, nobody wants parents separated from their children.
Right.
But when you commit crimes, sometimes that does happen. It happens here in the U.S.
Right.
So anyway.
One of the things that the judge did say is that he wanted the border agents or the U.S. to give these parents and kids a DNA test. There's one that gives results in 90 minutes. And so for every – that way they'll be able to at least have some certainty about who's
yeah.
related to who. Mm-hmm. In a related note, do you
so,
know –
So a good judge.
It is
a good ruling by the judge.
It is a good ruling by the judge. Yeah. Still on the border, would it surprise you if I told you that the president likes to press an advantage when he has one?
No.
No?
I think we've learned that about
We've learned that. Is that yeah. okay? Well, this won't surprise you then. You know, a month or so ago, a judge, federal judge, ruled that the return to Mexico policy is legal.
Yeah.
Now we're finding out that the Trump administration isn't just returning them to Mexico. They're flying them down to Guadalajara, hundreds of miles from the border, to make it more difficult for them to make their way back through again.
That's brilliant.
Isn't mm-hmm. it? This is reported from Fox News. The Trump administration has started returning Mexican migrants deep into the country's interior as part of an expanding effort to deter illegal immigration and combat the ongoing crisis at the border.
Has the illegal immigration slowed down compared to what it was,
has.
Walker?
Yes, it has significantly.
Why is that?
Because President Trump won various court cases that strengthen his constitutional ability to enforce different rules and standards that slow down illegal immigration. He decreased the incentive by the Remain in Mexico policy.
But what was happening is that a lot of these people, especially coming in from Central America, were claiming, what is it?
Asylum.
Asylum.
Yeah.
Political asylum. And then they were being let go into the country. That stopped?
Yes, that for the most part, that stopped. And here's why. Because according to federal law, there's this rule called, with the State Department and with our immigration system, called Safe Third Country. Meaning, if you're fleeing a country for whatever kind of persecution or whatever,
which was the claim, that's the claim of asylum.
That's the claim of asylum. If you're doing so, you have to stop at the first safe country you enter.
Right.
So if the neighboring country is a stable country,
that's Mexico qualifies.
That's brilliant.
Like Mexico, then you have to stay there. You can't pass through a safe country to get to another safe country. And so that's a law. And President Trump has been enforcing that now. So unless you're a Mexican national, you can't flee to the U.S. and claim asylum if you're from Guatemala.
Because asylum, it means you're fleeing immediate and imminent danger for
correct.
Your family for political reasons. That's really the definition, or religious persecution or something like that. So these folks, and that grants you entry into the U.S.
Yes.
So these folks in Central America figured out, and I'm not, I'm in no way diminishing all Central American people as humans who do live in countries that are very troubled
mm-hmm.
and violent in some cases. But we can't let everybody in the world who lives in those places come into America illegally.
Right.
Okay. We can't accept the whole world here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but my point is, they come up here and they're claiming asylum while passing all the way through. If you're going to be escaping for asylum purposes, then Mexico ought to be good for you as a place to
be safe.
Be safe
from the threats of your home
because
country.
You don't have those conditions in Mexico,
right?
That you have in Central America that you're said to be.
It was a loophole.
And it was a loophole. So they're basically using that asylum loophole from Central America to come here free.
Yes.
So they get on trains and cars.
And so
buses.
What President Trump has said is, we will process your asylum claim, but you're going to wait in Mexico.
Yeah.
For however many
and
months.
And that slowed
takes.
A lot of this down.
Yeah, it cut down the incentive.
At some point, you have to ask how many people are willing. I mean, the countries, it's not like there's 600 million people in Guatemala. And the millions coming into this country, they got to be running out of the
when they empty
people,
out.
They got to be running out of people to send, right. Or at least that are willing to make the trek.
Yeah,
you'd think.
Wait till a Democrat gets in.
Yeah, here you go.
Yep.
If a Democrat gets in the White House, it's y'all come.
Mm-hmm.
That's our immigration policy.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
it's not funny, but anyway, go ahead.
Speaking of, tonight's Democrat debate features six candidates. I think you guys went over who they are.
Six. Name them.
Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Tom Steyer.
How did Steyer get in there?
Because he
bought his way in?
No, he could have. But
think
he met the qualifying criteria for October, November, and December. The notable people who are still in the race but not on the stage is really only one, and it's Mike Bloomberg, who's just...
What happened to what happened to Marianne Williamson? Is that her name?
She was working.
What
on
happened
crystals,
to her campaign?
You know, and,
did it implode?
And the crystals didn't work out or whatever. She, you know, I loved listening to her because she was completely different than all the other Democrats in terms of the way she actually talked. And then, I guess, I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever she was doing, it didn't work anymore.
Well, I liked it when she told the rest of the group, you know, when they had 15 up there to hold hands.
Yeah, right.
And let's all hold hands.
We missed that.
And breathe together. Let's have breathing exercises together. And, and that didn't get her anywhere, though, evidently. But she was.
Hey,
go ahead.
Oh, look, I want to ask, who is this guy, Tom Steyer? I saw somewhere, Steve, he had spent, is it possible, $100 million of his own money?
Oh, very possible. He's a billionaire.
Who is he? I've seen a couple of his ads, but
how did he make his money?
He is a hedge fund advisor investor. So he made his money on Wall Street.
Who knew there was so much money in hedges?
Oh, man, I know, right?
I never knew it.
You just got a little.
I got into the, huh? I'd have gone into horticulture in college if I'd have known all that.
I know, right?
Is he any different in his policies than the other than the other Dems?
Well, no, actually, he's pretty far left. He would be kind of, you could lump him with the Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warrens for the most part. In fact, the reason I brought it up after our discussion of the immigration debate is because he came out with an immigration policy for illegal immigrants. This is not what he wants to do with legal immigrants, but illegal immigrants. He wants to offer them housing, health care, workplace training, and cultural celebrations. A safe platform for immigrants, illegal immigrants, to share their culture and celebrate their heritage.
Is he going to pay for it out of his own pocket?
Well, no, you're going to pay for it out of
our pockets. Right. I'm going to be paying for it.
You know, this policy that, the Democrats, all the Democrats candidates have, is going to come back to hurt them in the general election. They're appealing to their base voters now, thinking that this is a winning issue. I'm talking about open borders and free housing and free medical care. In other words, let the world come here and give them everything they want in the name of being charitable or compassionate or humane. Mm-hmm. That's the Democrat solution to our southern border. And I would just say with probably 70% of the American public, that's just not going to cut it. Now, it may not cause them to vote for President Trump, but it doesn't help the Democrats. I'm assuming 70% of the American people would be opposed to that policy, but I could be overestimating it.
If you are overestimating it by a lot, we are a nation in trouble. I mean, that would mean 70% of the country.
Yeah, I've said before here that it does bother me. And I know when you add up Republicans and Democrats, there's various reasons why people vote that way.
Sure.
And most people consider more than one issue. But at the same time, when you have something as disastrous as advocating for no border control at all, mm-hmm. I just think that's got to be a loser with at least 60%, 70% of the American public. I've got to think. Or anyway, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. What's next, Steve?
If we can, I'd like to go back to the Soleimani hit and talk about the reaction within this country about that. I have a couple things to play for you. John Kerry was asked in 2016 if the billion or so dollars in cash and the other billions that we sent them. Former Secretary of State.
Under the Obama administration.
Yes. And he was asked while he was Secretary of State in 2016 if the Iranian Guard, the terrorist organizations within Iran, were going to get some of the money. You'll hear what he says. And then I want you to listen because halfway through this bite, we switched to him talking Sunday on Face the Nation. And look how he deflects this. This is cut five.
I think that some of it will end up in the hands of the IRGC or of other entities, some of which are labeled terrorist. To some degree, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every component of that can be prevented.
Well, what I was really saying, I think, first of all, Margaret, you are an expert at this. You were there. You know that the president's tweet is a lie. You and the media, I think, need to call a lie a lie. I was saying clearly some money from the budget of Iran is going to go to the IRGC. It always has. That's no surprise.
That's not what he said.
No, definitely not.
He's saying somebody else is a liar?
The Trump clip that he's talking about is this. Trump tweeted out on January 12th, John Kerry got caught essentially admitting that funds given ridiculously to Iran were used to fund attacks on the USA, which is essentially what he had said in 2016.
Which we heard.
Which we just heard him say.
Right.
And when Margaret Brenner, who was the host of, I think it was Face the Nation that he was on, called him out on it,
said Trump's a liar.
He said Trump's a liar.
Yeah, you need to be calling out Trump.
Didn't you say that the money was going to go, Trump's a liar.
Yeah.
Orange man bad.
Yeah, well, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that Iran used some of the money that Obama sent them for military operations.
Right.
Or,
sure.
In our case, terrorist operations against U.S. troops, because, you know, their leaders hate America. And in their view, what better way to display hate for America than to use America's own money to fund terrorist groups? And
listen, what's the word, Ray? I'm looking for a fungible.
Yes.
Fungible.
With money? I mean, this is ridiculous to even be discussing this. Now, if you want to side with the president, with President Obama, and that policy of giving Iran billions of dollars of cash, if you want to say, I agree with that because we need to try to buy them off, keep them from making a nuclear weapon, then that's something I can listen to.
Right.
Okay, it's not the first time that's been tried. But don't tell me that when Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism and murder in the Middle East and the unsettling all over the Middle East of people and countries, and we give them billions of dollars, and they use, what do you think they're going to use that money
right.
for?
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
And which is what he admitted. It's the same argument.
He acted like he used the word budget. Did you hear that?
Budget.
John
right.
Kerry goes, like you sat on there on the meeting, and we got the line item.
Yeah.
For the Ayatollah Khomeini's going down the line item for the budget.
Right.
You know what? America gave us billions of dollars. Fellas, we can't use this for terrorism.
Right.
We're gonna have
to pave some roads.
You got to pave some roads, put it in the sanitation department.
Yeah.
But we're
right.
not buying bombs.
Yeah.
This is the same argument you hear when abortion advocates talk about federal funding of Planned Parenthood. Well,
right.
no, none of the money that the American tax dollars goes to abortions.
It just pays
go to
the
other
light
things.
Bill.
What it does is they put it in a bank account, yeah. and you expect to believe them when they say, well, we're taking it out of that bank account, but we're not taking those dollars out of that bank
right.
account.
You
we're
know,
taking other dollars out of that bank account.
Right.
It's still appalling and shocking to think that someone as intelligent as President Obama, I do think he's an intelligent man. I don't agree
yep.
with his politics.
Yep.
Would hand over, and he tried to do it in the dark of night. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. The plane.
Right.
The unmarked plane with
yep.
with all the euros.
Pallets of money.
The pallets of money, like some James Bond movie.
Right.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And that President Obama would be dumb enough to trust these crazy religious nut jobs that control Iran by giving them billions of dollars.
This is what they called, I remember talking about this at the time, a legacy project. He wanted something that he could pin on his legacy as president, and peace with Iran was what he was hoping for.
Well, you don't go on hope. You don't go on hope when you're
yeah.
talking billions of
hope
dollars.
Hope and change was he did.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah,
that, yeah. It's a legacy. It's a legacy,
it.
All right.
That's why he did it. He wanted history
it's
to look good.
It's hope and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Huh? What'd you say, Ray?
It's hope and nothing's changed. You know, give
yeah.
them money.
Yeah,
business as usual. Yeah, of course they bought weapons with it. What else are they going to do? It's their biggest line item.
I know. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ray, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Appreciate it. And Walker.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your contributions, as we do Fred's and Brent Creeley, our producer. And we thank you for listening to AFR. The Bible teaching of Dr. Alistair Begg is next up, followed by Bishop Jackson with his program. You don't want to miss that. And on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.